This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9490. We're going back to all your phone calls here, and we'll get to the Phillies as well. Red October starts Saturday.
Darr.
Mets, maybe. Mets up 1-0 on the Brewers. We'll get to all that. But right now, Kyle, joining us in studio is our next guest, Seth Joyner.
Yeah, and Seth's sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. Pre and post game with Seth Joyner at Parks Casino for every Birds game all season. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, Seth, welcome. Where do we start?
Seth always be dressed all nice on that gambling. So you see him out there with the nice little ties and the nice little suits. You be wearing that mouthpiece, dog.
Hey, man, that's the way you do it. If you're going to be on TV, you need to look the part.
That's why I don't be on TV, dog.
That's why he's on the radio.
That's why I do radio.
Pajamas and towels, he's ready to go. All right, Seth, where do we start? That was a rough one Sunday. What hit you watching the defense play on Sunday, or not play, or whatever the heck they were trying to do out there? Like, what was the biggest problem in your mind Sunday defensively?
I think the lack of preparedness in Vic Fangio's unwillingness to adjust on the fly. You know, you had to know with Baker Mayfield taking on 12 sacks in the first three games of the season that the game plan was going to be to get the ball out of his hands. So when you look at the film and all of a sudden, you know, the cornerbacks are taking such a passive stance, well, you know, you got catch and run guys and they're like, okay, you know, we'll take what the defense is giving you. Something that the Philadelphia Eagles could take a page out of that book, I think it would help them offensively if they started doing some of that.
Seth, do you think, and I know you have been talking about this kind of defense Eagles have run for years, right? It was Gannon, then it was Desai, and now it's the guy who started at Fangio. I'm starting to wonder if the league is just caught up, right? Fangio's been doing this for a long time. A lot of his disciples are everywhere. I just feel like all these offenses have seen the Fangio kind of defense for years. I don't know if it creates a big advantage anymore.
I don't think it ever really caught an advantage, in my opinion. I think he's had success with it here and there. But I'm just of the opinion that, and Hugh, I know, will agree me because he played with a very aggressive, played for a very aggressive DC in Jim Johnson. I'm not of the belief that a passive mindset, you know, ever wins you anything. You're playing to lose, in my opinion, at all times. And, you know, this whole thing, we're going to bend but don't break between the 20s and then bow our necks at, you know, in the red zone. That crap just doesn't fly with me. It doesn't fly for me, and it doesn't work. Because if you look at the better defenses around the National Football League, they are aggressive defenses.
Yeah, and their corners come up in the run game. You know, we was talking to some guys last week, and they were telling me basically that there's a lot of corners that don't tackle. But when you look at the good teams that play good defense, that help their defensive linemen out, they tackle. They are in the run game. And I don't – this is part of the problem that I have with this defense, Seth, because we all talked about the pass rush and how non-existent the pass rush is. It's hard to get a pass rush when you're playing 10 yards off and allowing the receivers to catch the ball and run after the catch. That's a tough spot to be in. There were some pretty decent rushes this weekend, but the ball was gone so fast. Like, as a defender, as a defensive lineman, you get frustrated knowing that no matter what you do, the ball's coming out quick and there's nothing you could do about it. Nothing.
Well, and that's the disappointing thing is that, you know, Vic Fangio knows that. You know, I mean, he's been around a long time. And people think that I'm a blitz guy. I'm more of a challenge guy. I want my defense to be challenging offenses at every turn. Now, I'm not saying that you got to blitz all the time, but you do have to blitz in this game. I'm not saying that, you know, you need to get up and play press coverage all the time, but you have to get up and challenge people. When you take the stance that we're going to play 8 to 10 yards off the football, the message that you're sending to the opponent is that we don't want to give up the big play.
We don't want to get beat deep.
Yeah, so we're willing to give you the underneath stuff. Right. The message that you send to your players is, hey, we're afraid of getting beat deep. And when you put that kind of mindset into your players, you're asking for trouble, because now that leads to the passive tackling. That leads to being defensive as far as, you know, giving up the play instead of trying to take a chance to make a play.
You know what the thing about playing that way, though, Seth, that I don't have a problem with? You can play off the ball, but damn it, you better make the tackle. You have to make the tackle. And when you have a team that in the first half, like, it was like 12 missed tackles.
Oh, yeah. It was terrible.
I mean,
the linebackers
help.
Missed a ton.
If you're going to allow them, this was the problem. If you're going to allow them to catch the ball underneath, you got to make the tackle and you got to stop the play right there. They were making the tackle and they were getting yards after the catch. They were making it, turning around, and cutting it up the field. That was egregious. And if you know your defense is having problems with that, I mean, even going into this game, Seth, we all knew. You look at the stat sheet and the fact that they gave up a lot of sacks last week, you know they're not going to do that this week. So you had, I think that going into the game, you have to be prepared for that and say to yourself, hey, we're not going to get the same kind of looks that they got the week before.
You know, it comes down to mindset. You know, what do you want your players to be aggressive, you know, or do you want them to be passive? So as a defensive coordinator, your mindset has to be markedly different if you want aggression out of your players. You got to put them in position to play aggressively. And I just don't see that. You're 10 yards off the ball, that messaging that you're sending. I mean, listen, you know, and I don't know, it may be one of them situations where these guys haven't picked up his system quite to the depth that he would like them to.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, when a defensive coordinator has ultimate confidence in his guys, and he's got guys that he trusts, like Jim Johnson trusted Brian Dawkins. Brian Dawkins did everything. He was doing stuff that the linebacker should have been doing. You understand? Because Jim Johnson trusted him to get the job done. When you trust your players, then you put them in position to make plays as a defensive coordinator. We don't have any playmakers on our defense. There's nobody that he can look at and say, I'm going to put this guy in a position to make a big play for us. He's just got a bunch of guys out there that's just playing. And it seems to me like he's afraid. He doesn't want to give up the big play.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you try to prevent something from happening, that's exactly what happens. You've got to put an aggressive mindset in your players, and you got to put confidence in them. And then you got to go let them play. Those other guys get paid to make money, too.
Mm-hmm.
So get paid to make plays, too, I should say. So you got to take into account that they're going to make some plays. But this team doesn't force turnovers. You want to know why? Because they're always so passive. The word force means you're making something happen, okay? And the fact that you're not forcing any turnovers says to me that you ain't making a damn thing happen. You're waiting for something to happen to you. And you cannot play football in the National Football League with that mindset as much as they do.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Seth Joyner joining us in studio here on the Midday Show. All right, Seth, one of the guys that they hope makes plays on defense is Darius Slay. He's the guy that's here to make plays in the secondary. Those haven't happened. And then he's had quite a week. What's your reaction of the week post the game when he goes on Micah Parsons' podcast? He's kind of having fun about CJGJ talking, and then CJGJ didn't have his greatest game. He's a captain on this team. I mean, you've been in locker rooms. You were a teammate. You were a leader. That stuff bothers me. I didn't play in the NFL, but it just, like, as a teammate, I would never do that to Hugh or one of my teammates here at WIP. I know these guys go on podcasts, it's a different world now, but that just, it bothered me that he's out there with a rival joking after a loss.
You know, my Twitter feed has just been lighting up. People want to know what I think about this. And the only response I had was, I have no words for this. And you know, guess who liked it? And he don't ever say nothing on Twitter.
Who's that?
Brian Dawkins. He liked it.
Yeah. Brian doesn't say a whole lot.
He don't say a whole lot of nothing, especially when it comes to stuff like
mm-hmm.
this.
Yeah.
I said, I have no words for this. Click. The first person to like it. So I think that speaks volumes for itself right there. I ain't no need of me tap dancing. I just, you know.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Darius Slay is at the end of the road. Hugh, you know how it goes. You know, you give the best that you got, and then you try to steal a few.
I tried, but they wouldn't let me, sir.
They wouldn't let me. You know, that's, to be honest with you, when I watch Darius Slay play, because I know, as an athlete, you know when you're done, Hugh.
Yeah,
okay? Do. I played 13 years. At 11, I knew I was done. I knew I was done.
Uh-huh.
You know, I could feel how my body wasn't reacting the way that it reacted all
before,
those
when you were younger.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, you know, I'm over tight end. I'm like, he gonna hook me. He hooked me.
Yeah,
and I'm like, damn. And my mind was there. My body physically couldn't do all the things, you know, that it was doing before.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah.
When I look at Darius Slay play, that's what I see.
Mm.
That's exactly what I see. You know. So this whole, all of this bravado, you know, I have no words for the cowboy thing. That speaks for itself. That's just a cardinal sin. You don't do that kind of stuff. As far as his play on the field is concerned, and listen, if you ask him to play passively, which Vic Fangio is doing, he can do that, you know, but we need guys to play aggressively. You talk about cornerbacks tackling. You see the young kid, Quinion Mitchell, come up and make tackles.
Yep. He needs to catch them.
Yeah, but I mean he's that'll come.
Yeah.
You know,
you're
that's
right.
That half a second, that half a tick that he's off from being able to catch to intercept the ball, that's that next step confidence where you know what's going on instead of you guessing what's going on. But when I look at Slay, you know, he wants no part of contact unless he can push a guy out of bounds or trip him up. And, you know, all the other things that go along with it, you know, this is my opinion. I think the Eagles, it's time, because it's obvious to everybody that this is his last hurrah in Philadelphia. I believe that you got some really good young cornerback.
Let him play.
And you need to play him. Because if Quinion Mitchell can do what he's doing, you know Isaiah Rodgers, you know, was turned into that dude in Indianapolis before he made those stupid decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a guy in Cooper DeJean, you know, who's been slow to come along, but, you know, you hear Vic Fangio yesterday, he's getting close.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in time, you got to make the decision, you know, to go with the youth because they're going to be a lot more aggressive rather than having, you know, guys who are trying to steal the last couple of years, you know, continue to play out there knowing that, you know, week to week, you know, the Atlanta game, he gives up the touchdown. I got you, Philly. I'm coming. And the next week he comes out, I'm like, he's going to play. He's going to play now. You're going to see when a guy is done, you can see like every 5 or 6 games, he'll flash.
Because
that's all he got left in the tank. The rest of the tank is empty. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you come to the next week and then you get a kind of a reversion of, you know, who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing as far as his play is concerned.
Seth, let's end with Jalen. Are you concerned with Jalen where he is right now? The turnovers, it's incredible how many times he's turned the ball over in 4 games. I know this past week, obviously, no AJ, no Devontae, and Lane, they got a lot of pressure off the right side. Are you concerned about Jalen?
Listen, I've been one of Jalen's biggest backers, but I am at the point of being concerned about his forward development, I should say. I will say this, though, because, you know, he's one of the few people that I really go overboard to try to be, you know, overly protective of. Because I understand some people are like, man, we need to start thinking about the next quarterback. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, you don't. That'll always work out.
Because you're probably not going to get a veteran. You're going to draft a young quarterback. Yep. And you're going to spend the next 3 to 4 years of mediocrity, and all of this talent that Howie's amassed on the offensive side of the ball is going to go to waste. So keep wishing for, you know, that scenario to happen. I will say this, though. Jalen has shown that he can do it. There are some guys who we wondered for a lot of years whether they could do it, and guess what? They're recovering. You got Sam Darnold. You got
Baker
Mayfield, and you got Geno Smith.
Yep, Geno leads the league in passes right now. Yeah.
Now, who in the hell would have ever thought, Hugh, that those three guys would ever turn into what they're turning into?
It takes time.
So don't tell me, do not tell me, that Jalen Hurts can't find it, that he can't be what he was in 2021 all over again. And to close out, because I know y'all got to go, okay, in 2022, he led the team to the Super Bowl, was a freak injury in Chicago, away from winning the MVP. He comes back last year. Although it wasn't consistent, he led this team to a 10-1 record before the bottom fell out. And I'm not going to ascribe it all to him, but the turnovers had a lot to do with it. Okay, so and the Eagles are, I think the stat is they're 3-8 over the last 11 games.
Yep.
Okay, so we want to throw our quarterback out the window.
No, I'm not throwing
over 11 games, over 11 game sample size. I mean, think about the lunacy of that. And I get it. This is Philadelphia. This is what we do. But an 11 game sample size with a crap defense last year, and a defense that's still trying to figure out what their identity is this year, injuries, coaching turnover, system turnovers. I mean, let's look at this thing, you know, from the 10,000-foot view rather than from – and I get it. There's only 17 games every 52 weeks out of every year. I understand that. But let's look at this thing in the proper context, because if you want to usher him out of here and you want to bring in a young quarterback, it's a whole new rebuild, because by the time that guy, unless he's a C.J. Stroud or a Patrick Mahomes, which ain't ever guaranteed, if you ain't getting a guy of that quality, you got 3 to 4 years before this team gets back to the expectation of being able to contend again.
Well, that's fair. I mean, then you're on the roulette wheel, too. You could get a bad quarterback, too. I mean, that happens a lot to these teams. Seth, we appreciate you hopping in, and we'll talk next week. Thank you, Seth.
You got it, guys. There always a pleasure. Good to sit in with y'all, man.
It was fun. Always fun having love Seth Joyner in Seth. Studio. Right, let's go back to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Greg on the cell. What's up, Greg? Greg, buddy.
First time caller.
Oh, we're happy to have you, Greg. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be short. I think if our receivers was playing in these games, we could possibly be undefeated. And, you know, if you don't have two of your best receivers, you know, you're not going to score. You're not going to be productive. And my other point, sir, is this. Prevent defense. I don't get all that. When we played the defense against the Atlanta Falcons, the line's at like 30-yard line. So what's the purpose of defense? Prevent defense.
Well, Greg, and I look, that's the Vic Fangio way is to limit the big plays. Greg, we appreciate the phone call. It's the philosophy. I get that. Hugh, Fangio has been successful for a while. I part of me is starting to wonder, though,
he's on his retirement.
Well, he might be. Del Boca Vista, you know, here in Philadelphia. But if Fangio, Del Boca Vista from Seinfeld, that was the retirement community. Gotcha. It was the retirement community. But if half the league is using the same defense as Fangio, all these offensive coordinators know how to attack it now. They've seen it for years. This, like what he did 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, it was more of like, oh, he's doing it this way. Everyone's aggressive. He's a little more passive. It's like a... It's different. Now, if everyone's doing the same defense, like, I'm not confused if I'm a coordinator. All right, we'll just take the easy completions.
I think it's the personnel. Coach Fangio's had some pretty good ballers back in his day.
He has.